Hey there, Hillary.
Hey, Jenny.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. And welcome, listeners, to Kissing Lips and Breaking Hearts with the Garden Tarts, our U2-ish podcast.
Heavy on the ish.
Heavy on the ish. I think it might be about... I was going to say 50-50 tonight, but even the U250 is ish.
Today is Sunday, July 23rd. If you're listening, it is on or after July 26th. This is episode... Oh, what did I just say?
Season 5.
Of season 5.
What episode is it? 6? 26?
26 of season 5.
I said 6. Goodness, goodness. Gosh, we're over halfway through the year.
We were at a rock show in New York
with Jimmy Fallon.
So that was 8 years ago today.
Oh, you're gonna can I just say yes?
Yeah, it was 8 years ago today. We were at a rock show in New York and Jimmy Fallon was there.
I'm looking at my real quick. Yeah, 8 years ago. But then from 3 years ago, it says, haha, 2015 Jenny cracked 2020 Jenny up. And I just said, another night of not too shabby entertainment.
That was before we had NT Shabs.
NT Shabs, yeah. I noted it was my 43rd show in the hashtag I created for myself.
I don't know what number that would have been for me.
I don't know why I put number 43, but I did. So I want to tell you real quick. So we were both running late today anyway. And it worked for me that you got behind even later because so my aunt Sally and Uncle Gray, I think I told you this initially when they got back. They were in Germany doing a tour of the Rhine River. And I guess, and it is known that their my family, that side of the family, comes from Rimbach, Germany. And she was like, gosh, I should see where that place is, right? It was like a 20-minute cab ride from one of their stops.
Oh,
and
wow.
So they went, they got in touch with the mayor. The mayor, like, all this really, really cool stuff. It's, you know, Germany is very... They're very into preserving that history, Jewish history, and righting the wrongs and welcoming families to the lands that, you know, their families came from and this and that. And so while there's like, they're like no German or Jewish people in that town anymore, there's still a cemetery, there's a synagogue, or it's now a church, but it was a synagogue. The house that these two brothers lived in is there. And this is Irvin. No, not Irvin who did Big Brothers. This is his dad, Ferdinand, who started the whiskey company.
Okay.
Here. Listeners are like, what the fuck? Hillary knows kind of this stuff. Well, anyway, we were all, they like sent some pictures. We're like, oh, this is so cool. And everyone, every sibling, cousin, third cousin, everyone's replying, we want more info. So there is a lot of information documented about them coming to America, the family, like the names aren't new to us or anything, but to see pictures of the cemetery and the conversation with the mayor. And so they were doing a Zoom presentation tonight.
Oh, that's really cool.
With pictures and a little history of it. And it was really, really cool. So, and they were just finishing up when you said you were ready.
Oh, that's great. So, they're so lucky to have that information. We don't have any of our information from before people came. I mean, we have records of when our family came over here. But the other thing is, like, I mean, your family came over like two generations before my family did. So that must be.
They came over before World War II. I should know. They were just talking about it.
In my family too, but we can't trace it any further back than the generation that came over here.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So there's we don't have any way to find out the cemetery. Like, we don't have any of that.
Yeah.
All those records were wiped out, but it must be, I mean, it must be the time frame that right. We might came over probably short, you know, closer to the war than yours did.
Yeah. And one that also, like, something really amazing happened, and I can't wrap my brain around how this happened, but someone wrote like a master's thesis or a dissertation or something on the Jews of Rimbach.
Oh my gosh.
Not a relative, not any, like, it was just some educational piece of work. It's a whole book. Somehow we got a hold of it. I don't know who did. It's been around for a while. Translated it from German. So we have all this information about that town and the Jews that lived in it, which is dumb luck, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think part of the reason for the paper, and it's, you know, like I said, it's a thesis. It's like, it's huge. It's not huge, but it's not like a 10-page paper or something. It's a book. And if some of it is the urge to document Jewish life and Jewish families and stuff too, so that doesn't get lost.
Yeah.
Unlike some states in our country, it is mandatory to teach the atrocities of German history.
Right.
In their schools while our country is getting rid of our atrocities. So Right. Whatever. But it was just really, really cool. And my aunt stood, so they got a hold of the mayor. The mayor was like, oh my gosh, come. And he showed them, you know, the house that these two brothers lived in is now a pizza shop. The synagogue, which is interesting, in the book that was written, it says it was burnt down to the ground, but it wasn't, the insides were burned. Like, and so, but they rehabbed it. They put a chapel on top. There's still Hebrew over the door, even though it's a church now. Oh. And there's a plaque commemorating when it was a synagogue, or when it was built, when it burnt down, and when it reopened. Mm-hmm. I think that's in German. But there's an unkept graveyard. There's a keeper, but it's not. I guess people don't visit it.
Yeah.
So the mayor had it mowed and cleaned up.
Oh my God.
And so there's a picture of my aunt with my, is this Ferdinand's mom? So great, 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 great. No. I don't know if it's three or four greats. Grandma. Her grave. Which is really.
So Irving was your second great grandfather.
Irving was my first great grandfather. Wait, so it was Irving was my great grandfather.
Okay.
Ferdinand was my great great. He's one of the brothers that immigrated here.
Okay.
And if any listeners are familiar with the former Red Top Rye whiskey, which is now a collector's item, that was him. And I think, was this Bessel and Losser were their names. I think Bessel was his mom. So great, 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 three greats. If I understand that correctly.
That's amazing.
Unless there's another generation there I can't think of. And then there was also a plaque in the town memorializing, I guess. Celebrating feels like a weird word. The Jews from the town who were killed in the Holocaust. And there are definitely, it's interesting. Everyone's either really old or really young. So it seems like that the people like in their 20s, 30s, 40s all left. Like they got out.
Mm.
Anyway, it's
Interesting.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's learning about just, you know, the world and the, you know, how long Jews have been oppressed and kind of not, you know, treated as whole humans and all, like, it was just, it's really long ago, but also feels really recent.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That's amazing.
To our You Two-ish podcast. Yeah. So yes, we're very fortunate. Yeah,
my mom can't, so her family, she can't trace anyone in, she can't even trace her grandmother back. So her grandmother came over from, actually from Russia. And her name, when she came here, her, I mean, it was her maiden name, Gordon.
Okay.
And, but when she came over on the ship, there was, like, in the time frame, there wasn't a Gordon that came from her city. So she had to have had another name. And because of that, they can't even trace.
Yeah. I
can't go back even a generation.
So I learned, I mean, there is a period of time when they did not have names, last names.
Right.
They were referred to as Jew, whatever, Jew first name.
Yeah.
I'm an expert now because I learned this tonight.
Well, a lot of people also took the name of the town they were from.
Yeah. So like my family are Westheimers and Westheim was about 100 miles from Rimbach.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, they were moving around people. So, yeah, it's interesting. Like, you can just pick a bunch of Jewish names that sound a little German, and you can find that town.
Right.
In German history. It's.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's really crazy. Yeah. I had a this lady that I worked with for a while. She was just very backwards with all of her thinking, but she was pretty just racist, and I mean the comments she made about people was just absolutely disturbing. And you know, in Richmond we had a whole street called Monument Avenue,
yeah,
all statues of Civil War generals. So my dad used to call it like the God, I can't remember, but the biggest, like, tribute to losers.
Yeah.
In the world. Like, it was a street of people who lost a war, you know? Yeah. Like, within the past 10 years or so, they've taken all of them down. Like, they've gotten rid of.
Right.
And she went really crazy about that. And she said, you know that they have statues to Hitler all over Germany. And I'm like, no, they don't.
It's literally illegal.
It is absolutely, there's nothing there that he is not celebrated by the Germans. They're embarrassed. Yep. Like, it's not anything that's in their history. Like, you don't talk about that. And she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, like we don't do that here.
No, like it would be like any visual Nazi stuff is absolutely illegal. That would be like the Confederate flag being illegal.
Right.
For us.
But she was, I mean, she was trying to justify, you know, basically a Confederate flag. Like, you know that they're, you know, swastikas and statues to Hitler all over Germany. And I'm no. Like, absolutely not. Lesson learned.
Right.
You know?
Lesson learned.
But I just remember being, like, having, like, screaming match with her about that. Like, I'm glad that they, you know, that in Virginia we've gotten really, you know, like all these schools that were named after Civil War generals are all getting, you know, new names and stuff. Like, it's right. Absolutely appropriate. Like,
yeah. Wait,
you know, we're yeah. Going backwards now, but for a while we were pretty woke.
Right. Well, and the whole, like, argument of you can't erase history, it's like, no one's erasing it, we're just not celebrating it.
No, that's exactly it.
We're just not celebrating it.
No. And I think I used those exact words to tell her that. And it was I'm so glad I don't work with those people anymore.
Gosh.
That was just a miserable,
miserable
experience to work with such ignorant people.
Ugh. Well, let's pivot and talk about something fun.
Yes, let's do
it. I want to hear about your weekend.
Yeah, I had a really amazing weekend. I went to Richmond to see a YouTube tribute band called Bullet the Blue Sky. Spoiler alert, that was one of the songs they played.
What?
Complete with the light and
of course.
And the helicopter. It was really good. It was at this, I have to talk about the bar for a little bit because
I want to hear about it.
Really, really interesting venue. They apparently are they get pretty big names in there. I mean, most of them I have never heard of before, but I think they have a big country kind of following. I'm trying to remember one of the names that was on there that had played there. I think one of the few names that I knew, Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits was.
Oh. Okay.
So, I mean, they get not people that would fill an arena or anything by any means, but they get, they have a lot of people that show up there. It wasn't sold out, but it was, there were a lot of people there. But it was really weird because it's you have to make a reservation. You have to get your tickets, but you make a reservation for a seating time.
Hmm.
So the choices were 6:30 or 7:00. That was it.
You can't just show up.
You cannot just show up. You have to buy tickets.
But I mean, you can't but what if you miss your seating time?
I don't know. They probably wouldn't let you in. Like, knowing
that's old COVID, that's a COVID thing.
I'm not sure. But so they had tables and tables that were together. And then they had these long rows of bar tables.
Okay.
And they were all pushed together. So you're sitting with people that, you don't necessarily know. They seat everyone with their back to the stage.
Okay.
And we're screw that. We got up and went to the other side. But they sat everyone like that. Everyone that came in, they sat them with their back to the stage.
Weird.
Really weird. The only thing I could figure out was that the hostess was just too lazy.
Yeah.
To walk to the other side. That's the only thing I could figure out. But every time someone got up and moved to the other side of the table, there would be a waitress that came over and was like, I need to check to make sure that there's no one. It was really weird. I don't understand it. So then the minute we sat down, they were like, what would you like to order? And we're like, we just got here. We have to look at the menu. And yeah. 5 minutes later, she comes back over and asks, it was just and so finally she said, the band went on at 8:00. Finally, the waitress was like, you have to order. I'm going to say the name of this place too. It was called the Tin Pan.
Okay.
And the lady was like, you have to order by 7:30 because the kitchen closes. And I'm like,
it's not a movie theater. No. It sounds like a fancy movie theater.
It was super. It kind of got that. It kind of gave me that. Now that you said that, that's exactly what it felt like.
You need to order and get your food before the movie starts.
Yeah. And they're like, the kitchen closed. And I'm like, the kitchen closes at 7:30. Well, in Virginia, you have to, for a certain percentage of your of your income has to be from food. You don't have just bars.
Okay.
So you have to factor in that, I think it's illegal, actually, for them to shut down the kitchen like that. I think that they can't do that because they're only serving food for an hour and a half of their entire business. And I don't think you can do that.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Disgusting. So then the band went on and immediately she was like, here's your here's your check. And we're like, what the heck? You didn't even ask us if we wanted to drink more.
Right.
Here's a 20% gratuity with everything you order.
Wow.
Yeah. It just is built into the price. The food was really awful. I do not like this location. Would I go back to see them again? Yeah. But I don't think I would eat anything. I'd make sure I ate before I got there.
Right.
But it was a really horrible experience to be.
That sucks.
Yeah. So anyway, the band was just amazing. I've always said this, to have, you know, a U2 tribute band, a cover band that plays U2, your equipment, you've got to have like big time equipment to be able to do that. And the guy that is the Bono, he mentioned this. He was like, and this is our guitar player. You can't even imagine how much equipment he has to have, you know, to be in this band.
Right.
And the guy that is the Edge, the guitar player, he dresses like the Edge and everything. And he said the equipment he needs just to play Bullet the Blue Sky is $900.
$900?
For one song. I mean, obviously, he doesn't have to.
Right.
But he, just for the equipment that is necessary for that one song, is $900.
Maybe they should have picked a different song as their band name.
Maybe.
Something simple.
Stuck in a Moment.
The acoustic version.
Yeah. And they played it. They played the acoustic version of Stuck, which was great.
Nice.
Yeah. The most amazing thing of the night was that they played Kite.
Yeah.
And as someone that was in the audience who just posted on their Facebook page and said, hey, you guys, can you play Kite?
Yeah.
They're like, we'll figure it out. So they learned Kite just for that.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't think they played anything after All That You Can't Leave Behind.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It was, I have the set list. They gave me the set list. I had seen them once before, but I kept in touch with them hoping that they play, you know, somewhere in the area, which they did not. Cause I mean, I had to drive an hour and a half or whatever to go see them.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, close enough, but it would have been nicer if I could have, you know, slept in my.
Exactly.
They are you too.
Right.
But no, they're not from here. They're from North Carolina. So, I mean, they were they traveled far, much further
this
than
is true. This is true.
Anyway, I don't know if you have been. I mean, I don't talk about it much, but I've had a really horrible couple years. And this was just a night where I just felt like, for the first time in a long time, I was able to let down my hair. You know,
literally.
I sang, I laughed, I had a few drinks. It just was an amazing night. And I am so grateful for Bullet the Blue Sky for helping me just to have like a night like that. But I want them on an app, and I'm working on it. I don't know. I just, you know, I laughed, I sang. The Bono came down and, you know, sang to me, and I handed out a ton of business cards. People were
sweet.
He asked if I had whiskey and cake, and I said I had the whiskey.
Nice.
I did not have any cake, but I mean, so it just was a good night. It made me feel good. I just was very happy, and like this was another thing which Lauren said. So the Bono came down, and his name is John. I'm just going to call him John.
Okay.
John came down and was singing, I think it was With or Without You. And like, I held eye contact and sang along with him. And like, you know, when I told Lauren, I guess the last time they were here, like, and Lauren has been to two shows with me,
yeah.
But like, you know, I sing along at U2 shows until Bono gets near, and then I shut up and just freeze, because what if I forget the lyrics? You know, like,
I mean, I can't move. Like, he gets nearby. And the last time we saw this tribute band, I did the same thing. Like, he walked over and I was just like, and this time I'm like, no, I'm singing. And so it was
good.
It was just, but I felt like $1 million. And then anyway, so people are like, who are you? And I'm like, but here's my business card. I have
nobody, but here's my business. Yeah.
And I don't know. It was kind of amazing. And this, so this guy was like screaming. He was a few tables down. He was like screaming the whole night, bad, bad. And they never play bad. But this guy wanted to talk. And then obviously this bar, this piece of crap bar, the second they were done, the lights came up and they're like, get out. Like, I don't like that. I mean, I like, people like to, you know, after,
well, don't they want people to buy more drinks?
No, because they already gave everyone their tab at 8 o'clock. They literally wanted people out the door. Like, it was so, I don't know, I don't understand it. It just
weird business.
Really weird. Really, really weird business. So this guy was like, is it creepy if I get an Uber and we can go and like talk about you two at another bar? And Lauren and I are like, no, okay.
So did you?
Yes.
Was this the guy that was yelling bad?
He was yelling bad. And he got up and came and sat next to me after.
Gotcha.
The bottom came over and like,
yes,
came to me. And anyway, he was, he paid for the Uber.
Ooh.
And we went to one of the most seedy bars I have ever been to in my life. But it was like, it had like charm that you don't find on a regular basis. So we went to another bar and had another drink with this stranger.
And, what was his name? Do you even know?
His name was Kai, K-A-I.
Oh, okay.
Kai. The people there were really nice. The people that were like fans. We had to be some of the youngest people in there.
Really?
It was an older crowd.
Wow.
And the tickets weren't cheap. They were like $30 to get in there. And then you had to have a $13 minimum, and they added the 20%.
Wow.
So this place was horrible. I'm gonna write a bad review about them because I would like, what the, and then before the band came on, they gave these rules about talking and about, it was just like, what the hell, where am I?
It's weird.
It was a really weird, but they said it was their third time playing there and they liked it there. I just didn't like the rules or anything.
Okay.
Yeah. But
I'm going to real quick. You sent us a text that made me laugh.
I did.
It said, this place is crawling with the typical fans. Temple Bar shirts, Fontaine's DC shirts, and some girl with a yellow, with a lemon purse. Me. I'm that girl.
Yes. I was the girl with the lemon purse.
It's really cute.
So I'll tell you I have the set list. They gave me a set list.
Okay.
But I'll just really quickly read the set list because it was interesting. It was not your, I mean, it was definitely a set list for fans and not for, you know, people who listen to the radio in the 80s kind of people. So Even Better, I Will Follow, Party Girl, Sunday, New Year's Day, MLK, Pride, Mysterious Ways, Bullet, Beautiful Day, One, Stuck, Kite, Gloria, The Fly. And they opened The Fly with a few bars of lemon.
Ooh, interesting.
Which is very interesting. Wild Horses, Streets, Still Haven't Found, With or Without You, All I Want Is You, and Angel of Harlem.
Wow. Okay.
It was a really, it was a great set. It was just,
it's a nice mix of stuff.
Yeah. And so before we went out, I don't know if I feel I have deja vu. I'm, I don't think I may have told you this story, but okay. So I was in a hotel for a long weekend back in January. And when I travel, I have this little iPod mini because like most of what I watch.
Oh, like, you did mention this.
Yeah. All of what I watch is streaming. And I get to this hotel and they have the biggest TV I've ever seen on the wall. Like, monster TV. And so I did tell you this, but anyway, I was really frustrated that I had this teeny little mini and then that I'm streaming, because you had just given me your Peacock ID and I was watching Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And I'm watching on this teeny little mini with the biggest TV I've ever seen on the wall, and I was frustrated, so I ordered USB-C to HDMI cord to be delivered the next day to my brother's house. And so then, you know, for the next night, I had the big TV that I brought the cord and my iPad to the hotel, and Laura and I were putting on our makeup and getting ready to go out, and we watched Rattle and Hum.
I love that.
I thought of this story that I told Lauren the story, but I'm not sure that I've ever told you, but I was in Annapolis visiting, this is what made me think of it, but I was in Annapolis visiting my brother Jeremy and his wife. We were at his wife's mother's house, and she was talking to me about a jazz club she went to in New York. I don't know anything about jazz clubs, and but I, you know, was listening to the story, and I'm like, oh, what was the name of the jazz club? Like, why would I know anything about this? I don't know, but I was just being engaging in the conversation, and she said Birdland, and I'm like, oh, on 53rd, and she's like, yes. I'm like, the only way I know this is because Birdland on 53. And anyway, so I was, that came on.
That is hilarious. I didn't even know what that was a reference to.
I didn't either. I'd never thought about the lyric before. I never thought, how do you get the context clues from that Birdland on 53? I don't know what Birdland is. I don't know that it's not 53rd.
I just sing it.
I do too. I don't think about it. But when she said Birdland, instantaneously, it went to my head. Why do I know Birdland?
And the 53. Oh, yeah. Okay, because those are the next words.
Yeah. And so I felt like, you know, she thinks I'm this, like, New York expert. And I know. I don't know. I mean, I think 53rd is, like, at the top of the park. But I don't know that for sure either.
Yeah.
I just guessed that. But apparently, I think it is. Because they, you know. But I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know that except for Angel of Harlem. And
that is hilarious.
Yeah. But I just, it was immediate when she said Birdland, my head went right to Birdland on 53, and then it somehow converted it to, you know, 53rd. And
oh, the top of the park, like the north part of the park, it's like in the 100s.
No, I know that. So I'm sorry, I got my geography. It's got to be at the bottom of the park.
Bottom of the park. Yeah, that's in the 50s. Anyway, I love this. That's my favorite thing. One of my favorite stories ever told me.
But anyway, I'm trying
that's
to see
hilarious.
What else to. So yeah, they did all the John Thabano. He did the. He calls himself Jono, and he did the, you know, the throwing the heart thing for Pride. I mean, he was he's so authentic. He doesn't look anything like Bono. He wears a jacket and he wears, you know, shades, and he's kind of got the facial hair going on.
Right.
But he does such a good job. His range is so good. It just was really great. And I felt like, I feel bad because, like, you know, I mean, if you listen, if you listen to us regularly, you have to ask, you know, we ask ourselves, like, man, if you don't like this many songs, why are you a fan? Like, Lauren is like, she's like well versed in, you know, what I like and what I don't like.
Yeah.
And like, she's like, what was it that came up? I think it was New Year's Day, which I love it. I love the bass in it. It's just not one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
You know, you hear it. I get excited when it starts. I get excited over the bass line, but
it's just a staple that, you know, if I don't ever hear it again, I'm not gonna lose any sleep.
Yeah.
And she was just like, yeah, I know you don't like this song. And then, you know, every couple songs they play another, you know, I mean, I love Pride. I love all the songs. But if, like, if they didn't play, though, that said, the energy that they had with Pride was mind blowing. The whole place was screaming. It was amazing. It was absolutely. Wow. Like, I think that you don't generally even get that reaction out of YouTube playing Pride.
Yeah.
This place was just so, like.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was really amazing. I texted you. I went to the bathroom during Gloria. It wasn't planned. I just really had to go.
Gotcha. But again, that's not some. That's a P song we do not agree on. Anyway.
Okay. I mean, I don't think I would pee if during a U2 version of it, because they generally that would be early on in the.
It's not that true.
I've never gone to pee during a U2 show ever.
So. Ever. Yeah. Did you see the Emmy nomination?
Yeah, I did. That they got nominated for
Outstanding Sound Mixing for a Variety Series or Special.
Yeah.
For the David Letterman thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that's not what they were looking for.
No, I'm sure it was not what they were looking for.
And it's up against Elton John's Farewell Special, the 65th Grammys, SNL, and the Taylor Hawkins tribute concert.
Yeah.
It's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
That said.
Also probably isn't something that they would air during the primetime Emmy. I don't think they're going to be primetime Emmys this year.
Right.
The writer's strike and the Screen Actors Guild strike.
But I will say that, I mean, but the Bono and Edgerton David Letterman thing is unique compared to all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot of competition, but I also think one of a kind.
Yeah.
And we should also mention that they've re-released a remastered version of Lemon.
Yeah.
Digitally.
Bono's been spotted in south of France, which would be expected.
Yes. Very expected. But that's the only little news.
I have to say, I follow Eve Hewson on, you know, we follow Eve Hewson on Instagram.
Yeah.
And my heart goes out to her because, you know, because of the Screen Actors Guild, she's like every other actor, she's out of work. And
yeah,
you know, when you think about like her generation, they've already gone through, I mean, everybody has, but when you think about somebody that's just starting their career, she's already been out of work because of COVID and now this strike, and it's just heartbreaking to see her posts. And also, I mean, she posted an interesting fact that was mind-blowing to me, that like to qualify for health insurance under the Screen Actors Guild, you have to make I think $26,000 a year.
Yeah.
And something like 82% of people that are in the Screen Actors Guild don't qualify for health insurance.
Right.
And that's really
staggering. And, you know, obviously she's going to be okay financially. Like, but, you know, she's worked really hard to make a name for herself, and to have to put a pause on that.
And
it's hard, but to think about all those, I mean, yeah, there's so many big names that are so fine.
Yeah.
Financially, and they'll come back no problem, but that's not the majority of people.
No, but the other thing is, that just shows the kind of, you know, disparity in wages, but.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I mean, you know, people have been posting Mandy Moore, a bunch of big people who I'm sure got paid very well in the original run of their show. get pennies from residuals for streaming, and somebody's making bazillions of dollars off that.
Right.
But I mean, Mandy Moore, I think she said she made like over a 6 month period or something like that from her residuals from This Is Us, made like $20 or something like that.
Oh my God.
Most of it was broken down. So like she was getting pennies per episode. And there's somebody making a fortune from this. And it's just, you know, it doesn't, you know, if you did the work, you deserve to get paid.
Right. Right.
Doesn't matter if you were, you know, originally paid $1 million or, you know,
right,
hundreds of dollars, you still deserve to get paid from people profiting off your work.
I heard a similar interview on NPR. This was when the writers first went on strike. It was because it was with a writer, and I can't remember what this person was like a head writer on. It was something big. I want to say like Big Bang Theory or something. Like it was the big show.
Yeah.
That is also streamed like crazy and syndicated like all over the place. Insane. Like this writer would get their checks and they were pennies, like 7 cents for a month or something. It's like, that's literally their written word. Like.
Right.
So it's, and yeah, I hear, like, I hadn't thought about, you know, they call whatever our monthly or annual fees are for, like, Netflix or sort of Disney or whatever, predatory pricing. I hadn't thought about that it's so cheap that they get all of us to pay them, but then they can't pay the creators and don't pay the creators. They're not...
Well, the thing is, though... The networks are getting paid well.
Right.
I mean, it's not trickling down. It's not trickling down like trickle. That's never worked for anything ever.
Right. But I think it's my understanding that because we're paying so little for this vast amount of content, that there's not enough to trickle down either. Right. Which means the network should be getting less and the actors and writers should be getting more.
Right.
But that's all I know.
Yeah.
Oof. I mean, it's the same thing. I'm sure with Spotify and Apple Music and all that. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Us not having to buy albums makes the industry suffer.
Right.
For sure.
I buy U2 albums. I don't buy anything else anymore. I might buy one other album a year, but I just stream everything.
I only buy vinyls, and I don't really listen to them. If I'm listening to music, I'm streaming it.
Well, I actually stopped buying vinyl. Like, I didn't get Record Store Day and I didn't get Zooropa because I don't listen to it.
Right.
And I don't really listen to a whole lot of music at all lately. I just watch TV. I need to not, but that's what I do.
The music will be there.
Yeah. My latest binge, I go through these ridiculous binges. But my latest binge is Chopped.
Yeah.
And they had an Irish guy on. I think it was one of the ones I watched yesterday. And I'm like, okay, I don't, you know, usually I just watch it. I don't really, you know, get invested in the contestants all that much, you know.
Yeah.
I usually, you know, root for the girl. Or the people with Jewish sounding names or something like that. But this Irish guy, I'm like, yeah, I'm behind him. He got popped in the first round. I was so upset.
Oh man.
So upset. But the things that they gave him to cook were, God, I wish I could remember. But it was like
it was like Rattlesnake, and I mean, it was, I don't know, but that poor guy was just like, you know, he seemed like he had, I mean, that's a problem with the show. Like, you can't have like a specific cuisine because you don't know what they're going to give you to cook. Right. But he was that poor guy. I think it was Rattlesnake, actually. But that poor guy was just so out of his element. Like, he didn't finish his dish or.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah, but I was so invested in him. Quickly. He had the best accent.
Of course. Of course.
Yes.
Well, we should probably say goodnight because I have to wake up in 6 hours.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm already tired.
I am exhausted. I'm glad you got to chat with your family. That would have been
me too.
Did in that.
Well, and I didn't talk at all, and they're recording it. They recorded it so I could still look at it, but it was fun. Our generation that was on it was myself, my sister, and two of my cousins, Gabe and Nate. So we created it. We had our own chat going.
Yeah.
What did my sister referred to it as the kids table. What did Nate say? Side chat for the youngs.
That's funny.
Because it took a while. And I mean, these are all people in their 70s. And trying to do Zoom and screen share. And the thing is that these are very capable people who know how to Zoom. My uncle does presentations and screen shares on Zoom all the time. Like, it wasn't working.
Oh. Like,
the setting wasn't showing up right. Like, it wasn't their fault. It was my aunt and uncle. My aunt was on one computer. My uncle went to a different one. And when he logged in, he got the stuff that he needed to share it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't their fault. But this was like,
yeah,
old people trying to work an iPhone. Like, this was like, and they were like, oh my god, I need a drink. And I was like, they're lucky we know they're smarter than this.
We used to do
like 20 minutes
like to set everything up
to get everything working.
Yeah, we used to have our family, you know, for Hanukkah and whatever, for my grandma, for my bubby's birthday, and
yeah,
we had to do, we couldn't do FaceTime because of one aunt.
Right.
And that was just, everyone complained about that. That was so frustrating.
It's like your text turning green.
Yeah,
worst.
I had, so in my salon,
yeah,
has a I don't know why, because it's like in one of the like most central parts of our town, but there's like no signal in there.
Isn't that weird? My salon, the whole block, like in front of it, you can't get shit.
Yeah, it's so.
You have to use their Wi-Fi.
And then when we went to the second location Friday night, I couldn't get a signal in there either. But like that almost never happened. So if I sent I sent texts. Well, I didn't send any text then, but I sent text, it went through, it was like a text message.
Right. Green.
Green. Like, I don't like that. I don't want to see. No. I almost have no one in my life, my aunt, but no one else in my life now is green except for my one aunt. And I only text her once a year on her birthday.
Yeah, I have some green people.
Yeah,
I don't mess it up.
Oh, Kip went back to being green. How do you do that?
Kip makes strange choices in life.
I
rolled
my eyes when I'm like, what happened to your phone? Did you turn off did you accidentally turn off iMessage or something? And he's like, no, I went back to an Android. I got rid of my iPhone. And like I apparently like seriously rolled my eyes, and he was like, you just rolled your, and I'm like, who does that? I don't know anyone ever who has done that.
Right. I don't know. I need all my machines talking.
I seriously do. I want everything.
I need them all to be together. They all need to be showing up the same place.
Yeah.
They're all on the cloud.
Yeah.
Okay, my dear.
Okay. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah, thanks.
Tune in next week. Maybe we'll have YouTube content. Who knows?
Or maybe you just get to hear us again.
Yeah. I need to try to look around more and see what else is going on. So
some strange and startling things.
I don't have to give you a play-by-play of what I watched on Chopped.
Also, next week, we are reviving Questions for Bono over Whiskey and Cake.
And we need to do that because we haven't done that in ages.
We do it every app. We haven't done it in a while.
And again, I just would like to say thank you to Bullet the Blue Sky for making me happy. And I'll be in touch, John. We got to get this happening this time.
We'll be back next week with more YouTube-ish content. Yeah.
In the meantime, keep chatting with us on social media at @_GardenTarts.
Bye. Sign up for our newsletter at thegardentarts.com and share with your YouTube friends.
You can support us on Patreon, buy me a coffee, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Kissing Lips and Breaking Hearts, a YouTube-ish podcast with The Garden Tarts, is created, produced, and edited by us, The Garden Tarts.
Intro and outro music by December.
See you next week.